stand when our Bibles open or your Bible apps open to Philippians 3, verse 12. Philippians 3, verse 12. I'll begin reading from the English Standard Version. I'll read from your translation. The Word of God reads as follows. Not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on toward the goal and for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You may be seated, friends of the Lord. Have you ever tried to drive in heavy fog? You can't see clearly. You slow down. You hesitate. You're easily distracted. You're not sure whether you're really headed in the right direction. That's what life feels like without purpose. But when you have purpose, it's like the fog lifts. You can see clearly now ahead of you. And suddenly your focus sharpens. Purpose is more than ambition. Purpose is more than having goals. It's more than personal performance. Purpose is the God-given reason for your why, for your existence. It's the why behind the what that you do in life. And when purpose takes the lead in your life, your focus is no longer scattered. It's directed, it's intentional, and it's powerful. You hear that? When purpose takes the lead in your life, your focus becomes directed, intentional, and powerful. So today, we will explore what happens when purpose directs your focus. Number one, purpose gives you clarity in your present. It gives you clarity in your present. Look at verse 13, A clause. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, that's focus. He is a single-minded man with a one-minded focus. That's clarity. Biblical clarity is the ability to see, to understand, and to discern truth from God's perspective. Not discerning truth from my experience, but from God's perspective. Because my experience of truth may be different than your experience of truth. As you hear the moniker, the phrase constantly in our culture, I'm just sharing my truth. No, you're sharing your experience. You're not sharing truth. So clarity from a biblical perspective is an ability to see and understand and discern truth from God's point of view, not from our point of view. Clarity, in this sense, is not just, beloved, intellectual understanding, but spiritual insight, that's called wisdom, given by God through the Holy Spirit. When you are clear on your purpose, you stop doing 100 different things with 10% of your energy. And you start doing one thing with 100% of your focus. Do you hear me? When you are clear on your purpose, you stop doing 100 different things with 10% of your energy. So that means purpose involves an attitude of humility. That you're not as good as you think you are. You're not as spiritual as you think you are. You're not in with God to the degree you think you are. You haven't already obtained it yet. Oh, it's been purchased for you. Your position in it. But practically and progressively, you don't experience it. Not in its fullness. That's what he's saying. I'm not experiencing the fullness of what I desire. The one who took hold of me fully, I want to take hold of him fully. The one who perfected me, I want to walk fully in that perfection. He realizes his limitations as a redeemed sinner. His life was no longer about him. It was about pressing towards that mark. It is a magnifying glass can make sunlight powerful enough that the magnifying glass harnesses the sunlight to the point where you can start a fire. You see that? Not because it changes the sun, but because it focuses the energy. And it becomes so powerful because of the focus, it creates a fire. And likewise, beloved, you and I, when we focus our life on our God-given purpose, power is released. Come on, somebody. Paul's one thing is a laser-focused pursuit of Christ. Not the crowd, not the accolades, not the fame, not the fortune, not the pat on the back, not all of the accommodations and affirmations. It's a person. He's laser focused on his pursuit of the one who pursued him and took hold of him, and he wants that focus, beloved, to be undistracted by the past, driven by what lies ahead. Philippians 3, look at verse 12, the B clause. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus made me his own. Do you have that kind of conviction? Or are you wondering, do I really know him? Or does he really know me in an intimate and personal way? Like an Olympic sprinter, Paul had a one-track. Nothing was important to him as pleasing the Lord. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, so whether we are at home, that's in your body, or away, out of your body, we make it our purpose, our aim, our goal, our mark to be pleasing to him. That's the point of the Christian experience, to please the one that redeemed us, not to please everyone around. Your focus should be eternal, not just earthly. It should be spiritual, not just physical. It should be relational, not just religious. It should be demonstrative, just not declarative. Here's the question. Are you living today with a scattered heart or a single mind? What are you doing about the purpose of your salvation? You know that you're just not saved to go to heaven. You're really saved to be like him. That's the crown and culmination of your justification. That's your glorification. But between your glorification and your justification and the interim is sanctification. It's a progressive, practical process where you and I submit our will, mind, and emotions to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, that he may empower us to live like Jesus in the world. That's focus. I know what some people are saying. I don't have that desire. Well, if you're saved, you do. And if you're saved and you feel like you don't have that kind of desire, it's because you're not focused. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation. Not work because it is God who's at work in us both to desire will and to work ability for his good pleasure. So what's the problem? The problem is our focus. Christian life, we focus on so many things but the right thing. And the Christian experience is all about us, not him. So it's hard to experience what he's already provided for us because we're not focused on the resources and the source of our ability to be all that he has called us to be. So we make excuses for our carnality, for our pride, for our lust, for our arrogance, on and on and on. We make excuses because we're not focused. And when you're not focused, you will not believe, based upon your life experience, that you have the ability or the capacity to pursue Christ the way Paul pursued Christ. But every Christian does. Every Christian has that capacity because it's God working in you if you're focused on it. He's giving you the energeo, that's the energy, divine energy of the Spirit, divine empowerment to desire and to do what pleases God. It was easy to desire and do what pleases us. But to desire and do what pleases God, it takes us being focused on the fact that that's why we're saved. That's why we're here. That's why we're serving. That's why we're living. That's why we're loving. That's why we're learning. That's why we're being. We're just not humans doing, we're humans being. You know what I'm saying? Your works come out of saving faith, which give evidence to your possession of saving faith. Many are just stuck in the possession of faith, but absent the practice of faith. Beloved, he said, to be focused on that purpose and to live in that purpose is to experience the inner working power of God through you. Beloved, he saved you for a purpose. And pursuing your purpose clarifies the reason behind your actions. That's first. The second, what else happens when we focus in on our purpose as good believers? Purpose frees you from your past. Hallelujah. It frees you from your past. I know we like the therapeutic couch. I know we like to sit back and go through a catharsis, releasing our pent-up emotions, talking about all of the trauma we experienced in the past. And that past could be last night or last year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years ago. But when you focus in on your purpose on this earth, your existence for being, it frees you from your past. Look at the B clause of verse 13. Paul says, and forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. When Paul says forgetting what is behind, it does not mean literally memory loss. It's not the loss of memory. If you run with your eye on your past failures, then you would tend to stay back for fear of failing and falling again. If you let your past failures define your present progress, you won't move. You will be paralyzed with that mental disposition that I may fall again. Instead, it's a deliberate choice to forget. To no longer be what? Controlled, influenced, or defined by your past. That's what it means to forget. Not allowing my past to control me, number one. How many of you are being controlled by your past in your interpersonal relationships today? 6 and Philippians 3. He says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for bragging and boasting in his flesh, he said, I have more. And then he said in verse 5, he said, I was circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. That's saying a lot. And then as to the law, he considered himself identified with being a Pharisee. As to zeal, I proved my zeal. I persecuted the church of God. As to righteousness under the law, I was blameless. He was sinful. He was blind. He was ignorant. He didn't know. With all that pedigree, he was lost. That's what he's telling you. But when he compares his past credentials to his present position in Christ, it was a whole different song. Listen to the song, verse 7 and 8. He says, but whatever gain I had, he changing his love song he had at first, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Look at verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, cow manure, in order for this purpose that I might gain Christ. Do you see what purpose for the Christian is? It's apprehending the fullness of our experience of Christ, which is perfection. If you run with your eye on past success, then you will have the tendency to lay back and rest on your accomplishments. And you will think, I don't need to. Paul told the church in First Thessalonians, he said, you're loving real good. Love more and more. Yeah, you're serving real good. Serve more and more. Excel in what you're doing. Don't be satisfied with status quo. Move forward. Paul was saying, I will not rely on my past successes or accomplishments for spiritual confidence. Spiritual confidence does not lie in us. It lies in our relationship to Christ. Secondly, not only letting go of your past accomplishments, but letting go of your past failures. Oh, that's really tough. We're holding on to all the things we've done wrong and all the things that was done wrong to us. Let it go. Paul persecuted the church before his conversion. But he doesn't let guilt or shame over the past stop him from pressing forward in the present. And may I just add, when you study the New Testament letters of Paul, Paul does mention that experience many times. He even regretted that he did that. He said, I did it in unbelief and ignorance. Even with that pedigree, he was lost. And then he said, I was one untimely born. And I became an apostle. Premature, he calls himself. But he didn't let that stop him from pressing forward and taking hold of the one who took hold of him. You hear what I'm saying? For most believers, the Christian life is a hit or miss proposition, just like the NBA. The NBA is hit and miss. That's how we look at the Christian life. That is, we just kind of take it as it comes. If we succeed, praise the Lord. If we happen to stumble and fall, it's okay. I'll do better tomorrow, as though it's in your power to do better. Because if it was in your power to do better, you wouldn't have had to say, tomorrow I'm going to do better. Not Paul. Paul wasn't content to sit around and wait for life to happen. No, he got busy making it happen. He was out there reaching for all that he was called to become in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, he says, therefore, I do not run like someone aimlessly.
I'm exerting all of this energy, but I'm not doing this thing this way. He says, I do not fight like a boxer. I'm not beating the air. I have a target. Paul is saying that he doesn't live without purpose or direction. He compares his spiritual life and ministry to being a disciplined athlete. I do not run aimlessly. That means he has a clear goal. He has a why. How about you as you run the Christian life? What is your why? And then he says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. It's not shadow boxing. What is he saying here? He doesn't waste effort on things that don't matter. Don't waste your efforts on things that don't matter. Here's what. What he does is align to his why. So your what should be aligned to your why, so you won't waste time with people, places, or things. People can drain you. Things can drain you. Places can drain you. And if they're not there to help you to align with your why, you should leave that situation. He was trying to reach his fullest position in Christ for the glory of God. This is beautiful in the B clause, Philippians 3:13. He says, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead. This describes, here it is, intentional focus. Thought about this. He planned this. How many of us live the Christian life with no planning? With no thought? We're just going through the religious motions. We're just going through the traditional motions. We're not even thinking about what we're doing. It's almost like when you drive your car and you get tired, especially going a long distance, you put it on what? Yeah, that's what we're doing spiritually. It's dangerous to spiritually cruise through your spiritual life. We put it on cruise. We're not engaged. The only time we engage when we're on cruise with a car is that we have to brake. Listen, beloved, there must be intentional focus. There must be effort and vision for your Christian life. The Greek word for straining implies intense stretching. Like a runner, you know. He's giving everything to cross that finish line. So he just throws his chest all into that rope to beat the next person next to him to get. See, he's straining himself. He's stretching himself to cross the finish line. He's actively reaching for the goal. He's not sitting back just praying that God would do it all for him. He's participating with God in this work of sanctification. One writer said, pray as though it's all up to God, and then work as though it's all up to you. Both. They're synergies, right? They work together. He's straining forward. It shows focus, intentional pursuit of his why. Now, what might you need to forget? That's between you and God. And where do you need to strain forward with a clear purpose and a clear focus? Beloved, purpose liberates you, frees us to say this: I will not allow what I once was to interfere with who I am now. That's big. That's big, because most of the time in the Christian experience, what we was once upon a time is what we carry in to our relationship with God. Because we have a hard time letting go. And then C. Here's the last one. Living with a forward mindset. This is what it means to forget. It means to let go of your past achievements, let go of your past failures, but living with a is refusing to let past success, regret, or pity distract him from his pursuit. The one that took hold of him, he wants to take hold of him. The one who apprehended him, he wants to apprehend him. Christ made Paul his own. Paul said, I'm going to make him my own. Have you made Jesus your own? It's a lifetime pursuit. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And the first thing you hear from a Christian, oh, he's so heavenly-minded, he's no earthly good. You can't define your Christian life by your earthly usefulness. Your Christian life is not defined by your earthly usefulness. It's defined by the sufficiency of Christ's life, death, burial, and resurrection. Said, I've been crucified. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I'm living by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. You cannot think that your earthly success has any bearing on your heavenly exaltation. It doesn't. Because Christ is the one that saves. He is the one that sanctifies, and he is the one that will glorify. Now, good works we're called to do. They were prepared before the foundation of the world. But the good works are a part of you gaining rewards or losing rewards. But you will never lose your position in Christ, nor his commendation of you as his own. It's a mindset. It's a heavenly focus. It's living in this earthly world with all these earthly problems, looking at them, examining them, analyzing them from eternity, from heaven, not just from earth. That God can take what is broken here and redeem it for his glory and the good of his people. Paul encourages believers to fix their focus forward and upward, not on past or earthly distractions, but on your eternal calling. We all have an individual calling from God. There's another thought that needs to be mentioned here. As you are running for the Lord, this grace of faith, stop looking at how others are doing in the race. Listen, I got to accept this. I got to accept this on a natural level. They're in the sky blue basketball team. And that sky blue basketball team I was a part of, I set the bench that whole season. I came to every practice. You never called my number, nor my name. I had to realize this. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't good enough. I was not good enough to. That's why he didn't put me in the game, because I wasn't good enough. You've got to realize that in life, that someone else is going to be better than you. They're going to outrun you, out Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Those are not just words. It's a revelation of who we are in Christ and how we should respond in our crises, in our conflict, in our controversies. Purpose is what gives you endurance when things get difficult, distracting, and distressing. It's your purpose that keeps you moving. It's what fuels the inner man, the inner person, when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's that inner Deo power working inside of you, moving you to press through it all. Because your goal in life and your aim in life, your mark in life is to please Him, no matter what the situation is. Paul says, I'm pressing on toward the goal or the mark. The Greek word skopos means a mark on which to fix the eye, like the finish line in a race. What are you fixing your eyes on? What are you investing your time and your energy and your emotions, your gifts, your treasure into? According to the context, Philippians 3, especially verses 10 through 12, the goal includes this in verse 10, knowing Christ personally and deeply. That's verse 10. You can read it in your own private time. That's what verse 10 capitalizes. That you're knowing Christ personally and intimately. You know, you said, I want to know Christ. In that same verse, experiencing the power of His resurrection. And sharing in His sufferings and becoming like Him in His death. Not the death He was going to die, but the death that Christ died for Him. I want to know Him in that death. Because that death, beloved, is victorious. That death is triumphant. That death, the grave couldn't hold Him down. You just don't want to know Christ in dying. No, in His death. A redemptive death. A reconciling death. That's a cleansing death. Listen, and then verse 12 says, becoming everything Christ saved him to be. So the goal is not just salvation. It's full maturity in Christ. It's perfection in Christ. Including the resurrected life and eternal communion with Him. Paul, put simply, beloved, the goal is Christ Himself. He's the goal. To know Him, to become like Him, to be with Him forever. That's the goal. That's the Christian experience. And then he continues in verse 14. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. That's the prize. If the goal is Christ, then the prize must be Christ. It's Christ Himself. The prize is Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, this word prize is used only twice in the New Testament. Is used in Philippians 3:14, the word prize in the Greek, and 1 Corinthians 9:24. It's only two times this word prize is used in the New Testament Greek. Do you not know, that's 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one? So run that you may attain it. It means a prize awarded in a contest, especially in the athletic competition in the Greek culture, the Isthmian Games. We call it Olympic in our time. It's Paul's metaphor of the Christian life. It's like a race. And the prize is the eternal reward given by God to those who faithfully pursue. place to be. But if we had didn't know anyone in that place, we would not want to go. Paul doesn't just want heaven, he wants Jesus. And the greatest reward is not a place but a person. That's what he says in Philippians 3:8. Indeed, I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Do you see that? Oh, the name and the titles. Christos, Isos, Kyrios. Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, he says, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. I want to take hold of him the way he took hold of me. I want to love him the way he loved me. I want to serve him the way he served me. Do we want that? The prize in Philippians 3:14 is the full reward of salvation, being resurrected, glorified, and forever united with Christ in his presence. Think of it this way. The goal is your focus, becoming more like Christ. You see that? And the prize is your reward, life with Christ forever. Can I say that again? The goal is your focus, becoming like Christ. But the prize is your reward, life with Christ forever. He's the goal and he's the reward. Bless his name. Distractions lose their power, beloved, because of focus. Distractions lose their grip because of focus. Temporary discomfort becomes bearable because we're focused. Opposition becomes fuel because we're focused on him. As my son would say, you're locked in on the real purpose and meaning of life is Jesus. It's a relationship, intimacy with him. The phrase, I press on toward the goal for the prize, shows persistence. It shows effort. It shows determination. It means perseverance. That's what he wants to build in us when we've dealt with the purpose of trials. Let what? Endurance have its perfect work. A complete work. So that we'll be lacking nothing. And we'll have the wisdom to go through all of the wars that life will throw our way. The heavenly prize is not just a destination. It's a person. We're going to be heading to Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. And we're just not headed just to go to Jackson, Mississippi. We're going to see Ame. Our destination has a purpose. It's to see Ame and Uncle Ben. And they're not related to Spider-Man. That was his uncle. His uncle was May and Ben. I'll get that to you next week. Spider-Man, you know, it's his uncle, Ben and his aunt May. Well, you know, I am Spider-Man. So, it's not a destination heaven for us. It's a person. Stephen R. Covey, the author of The 7 Habits for Highly Effective People, in his book, Habit 2, he says, begin with the end in mind. Oh, that's the Christian. Begin with the end in mind, thus pressing forward with your eyes on the goal and the prize. Olympic runners don't look side to side when they run. They don't look back when they run. They keep their eyes on the finish line. Same is true for every devoted follower of Jesus. Your focus must be forward, not sideways. What is the finish line? What is the goal, the prize we're pressing toward? Christ Jesus himself. He is the goal and the prize that fuels our purpose to live a focused life. This is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the purpose for your justification, your sanctification, strengthen us when we grow weary, and renew our minds daily by your indwelling spirit. Keep our hearts focused on the things above, on eternity, and not just